Well, good morning and welcome to another broadcast of The Bible Speaks. My name is Warren King, an evangelist with the Downtown Church of Christ in Rogers, Arkansas, and I will be your host for today's program. The Bible Speaks is part of the evangelistic effort of the Downtown Church, which meets at the corner of 2nd and Chestnut Streets in Rogers. The Downtown Church meets on Sunday mornings for Bible classes at 9:30, and we have Bible classes for all ages. Our regular assemblies on Sundays are at 10:30 on Sunday mornings and at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings, and we would encourage you to come and visit with us anytime that you can. Do you understand the Bible? I'm sure no one understands every jot and tittle, and that's okay. But as Paul wrote to the Romans, the gospel contains the power of God to save our souls. And in order for it to accomplish that purpose, we must understand certain fundamental truths of God's word. We must understand, for example, the role of Jesus in our salvation, that he is the divine Son of God, and that he died on the cross for our sins. And we must also understand what God expects from us in response to that sacrifice. Understanding that response is critically important. And while some people think that we can all understand the Bible in our own way, and that it really doesn't matter that much how we interpret it as long as we are sincere, that approach to understanding the Bible actually leads to a great deal of misunderstanding. If we understand the Bible at all, we will understand it alike. Such understanding does not come naturally. It does not come overnight. Instead, the understanding of God's Word is a process. The Bible tells us that there are steps that we must take if we would understand it. The good news, however, is that God's Word can be understood, and if we understand it, we will understand it alike. Recently, I had the privilege of bringing a lesson to the Downtown Church on this very important topic, and so we invite you to join us this morning for a sermon simply entitled, Understanding the Bible Alike. Have you ever been involved in a discussion with someone and you say, well, now here's what the Bible says in this passage over here, and they say, well, yeah, well, that's your understanding. We don't understand the Bible alike. And they sort of throw that out there as though that makes everything okay. You understand it your way, I understand it my way, and just because we don't understand the Bible alike, no big deal, because you got it your way, I got it my way. It's odd that folks don't use that same reasoning in a lot of other areas. For example, can you imagine having that conversation with your math teacher? She says 2 plus 2 is 4. And I say, well, that's not the way I look at it. 2 plus 2 equals 5. That's my understanding. You've got your understanding. I got my understanding. Everything's cool. I got a feeling she's not going to be cool with that. God's Word is truth. That's what Jesus defined it as there in John chapter 17 and verse 17. Thy Word is truth. And when we don't understand truth alike, that's a problem. What it says is that one of us have a misunderstanding of the truth. We need to understand the Bible, and by definition, that means we need to understand the Bible alike. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That is a command of God. To understand His will. Now I understand that there are some things that we'll never understand. You might remember when Jesus was talking to His apostles in Acts chapter 1, just before He ascended up into heaven. And they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And He said, it is not for you to know. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. And that's still true today. There are a lot of folks in this day and time, have been for a couple hundred years, who try to set dates for the coming of Christ. You know, He's going to come at this time, or He's going to come at that time. And everybody trying to set these dates. And the reality is, as Jesus had said earlier back in Matthew chapter 24, no man knows that time. No man will know when the Son of Man is coming. Those are things that we were never intended to understand. And so I got that. Some things we can't understand, and we need to be okay with that. But there are some things in the Word of God that matter a great deal. For example, in John chapter 14 and in verse 6, where Jesus, of course, is doing the talking, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me. Now, that's not hard to understand, is it? Jesus says, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a right relationship with the Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, you've got to come through me to make it happen. The Muslim says, well, that's just your interpretation. The Hindu says, well, that's just your interpretation. The Buddhist says, that's just your interpretation. Well, if the Bible is the Word of God, which I would affirm that it is, that passage is really not open to interpretation, is it? If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and if no man can come to the Father except through Jesus, that's really not open to interpretation. That's either true or it's not. Same thing is true in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 37. After those people had heard that gospel sermon that Peter and the apostles had preached there, and they asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter provides the answer to that, repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That's not really hard to understand, but a lot of people do. But that's an important question. What must we do in order to be right with God? What must we do in order to be forgiven of our sins? Now, my friend, that is a question we'd better understand the answer to. It matters whether or not I am forgiven of my sins, whether or not I'm right in the sight of God. I've got to understand this. God's Word provides the answers to those questions. But to say that we all understand it differently, brethren, that is a logical contradiction. Doesn't happen in math, and it doesn't happen when we look at the truths that are revealed to us in the Word of God. Jesus either is the only way, the truth, the life, or He's not. Can't have that both ways. Either baptism is or is not necessary for the remission of sins, as Peter stated in Acts 2 and verse 38, but you can't have it both ways. One position clearly does not understand God's will, and in every one of those cases, that's a problem and will be for eternity unless that person grows in their understanding. And God does allow for that. We are commanded in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 18 to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of us, for various reasons, do not always understand God's will as we should. Quite often, that comes about because of tradition. That is what I would call an environmental influence, the way we were raised. We were brought up to believe a certain thing, and that's just the way we understand it. And we don't give it a lot of thought. We probably don't give it a lot of study. We just kind of buy into it. We just sort of accept it because that's the way we've always thought. It's what we've always understood. But when Peter says, grow in your understanding, we'd better be about the doing of that. Grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. Earlier in that same chapter, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 5, Peter wrote about certain individuals who were willfully ignorant. Now, my friend, we may start off in life ignorant of a lot of things. But as we grow in our knowledge of the things of God, we should grow in our understanding of the things of God. To maintain a perpetual babyhood, a perpetual misunderstanding, in spite of all that God has provided for us in His Word, is inexcusable. Romans chapter 1, without excuse. When God reveals it, we need to be about the study of it. We need to be about the learning of it so that we can grow in our knowledge, grow in our understanding. And if we flat refuse to do that, brethren, that's a sin. That's a problem. People lose their soul over that. We need to take this matter of growing in our understanding of God's Word very seriously. You know, God's Word has a purpose. And our understanding of God's Word is vital if it is going to accomplish its purpose. And so you have passages like the 119th Psalm, Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, how does that work? How is it that the word of God can enlighten us, can provide that light for our pathways that we'll know how God would have us to walk? Well, it's because in God's word, he explains how he wants us to walk. He explains to us the things that we ought not to be doing. And he explains to us the things that we ought to be doing. God's word explains those things and thereby provides the light for our path. But if we don't understand it, then that's going to be a problem, isn't it? God's word can't be a light if we don't even understand it. The New Testament equivalent to that, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, where Paul writes to the young evangelist Timothy, and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is from the very mind of God. And it is profitable for what? It is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching. God's word is profitable to teach us the things that we need to know. For reproof, that would be warning about the things we better not be doing. God's word is profitable for correction to help us redirect when we're headed the wrong way. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness. That is, it instructs us on what is right in God's eyes. God's word profitable for all of those things so that, in verse 17, the man of God might be complete. But that doesn't work, you see, if we don't understand it, does it? How can it instruct us in what's right if we don't even understand it? Clearly, God's word is designed to be understood. It's the only way that it can accomplish its purpose. And that brings us to the really big question of the hour. Once we understand that we really need to be understanding God's word, how do we go about doing that? Did you know that there are certain steps that we can take to make an understanding of God's word happen for us? You, individually, personally, can come to an understanding of God's word. But you've got to take the steps to make it happen. It doesn't happen by osmosis. You're not going to come to a good understanding of God's word just by showing up to church once or twice a week. It's going to be a lot more to it than that. This has to be a daily, persistent process. But hey, if the salvation of your soul matters, maybe this is something we need to pay attention to. So what kinds of things are you talking about, preacher? Turn over, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. As Jesus is giving the parable of the sower and the seed. His disciples ask him, what does this parable mean? And he said, well, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. He says, a lot of what I teach is in the form of parables because a person has to be in tune. A person has to have the right mindset to pick up on it. They have to have the right heart to pick up on it. Now, if they don't have the right heart, this is a story about a farmer sowing seed on different kinds of soil, and it's not going to make any sense to them. He says, but if you've got the right kind of heart, you will understand the significance of the seed being sown on different kinds of soils. But the heart matters. As he goes ahead to explain in verse 15, those seeds that fell upon the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, King James says a good and honest heart, having heard the word of God with a noble and a good heart, they keep it and they bear fruit with patience. First thing you need, if you want to have a good understanding of God's word, is you need a good and honest heart. You cannot approach a study of the word of God with preconceived notions, trying to prove what you already believe. Because if you approach it that way, you will be assured every time that what you already believe is certainly the truth, and there's no reason to change it. Because you can find the passages that support what you think you believe, and you can ignore the rest, and hey, you come away with exactly the same convictions as you went into a study of the Word of God with. And that doesn't work that way. Can't do that. It was a big problem with the Jews of the first century. who believed that the Messiah would be a physical warrior king who would come and deliver the Jewish people from Roman oppression. That was their mindset. And when Jesus talked to them about this spiritual kingdom that resides in the hearts of men, they didn't get it because their hearts were not good and honest hearts. We need good and honest hearts, noble and good hearts, number one. Number two, you need to read the book. Ephesians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 3, the apostle writes to the church at Ephesus. It was by revelation, Paul writes, that he made known unto me, that God made known unto me the mystery, that would be the gospel, the New Testament, as I have already written to you briefly, by which when you read, you can understand. So how often do you read it? Well, not much. I got it down off the shelf a year ago and I read a few chapters and it was just all confusing to me. So I put it back up on the shelf and I haven't got it down since. I think I understand at least one of the reasons why you don't understand the Bible. You really have to actually get it off the shelf. You got to dust it off. You got to spend time with it. And not the let it fall open and let the Spirit, you know, however that works, let the Spirit tell me where I'm going to study. And so I'll read a few chapters here or a few verses here and close it. And then tomorrow I'll just open it in another place and read a few verses here or a few chapters there and see how that works. You think you could ever master algebra by doing it that way? Probably not. Here we are back to math again. No, there's a way to study algebra. There's a way to study calculus. And the way you do that is you start with the basics and you build on that. And the Word of God is the same way. Yeah, there are some passages, as Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, there are some passages that are hard to understand. God got that. Peter acknowledges that. But you grow in your understanding of God's Word as you read it consistently, as you make a dedicated effort to study through it in a logical way, in a practical way. There are ways to make that happen. But you've got to read the book. Don't expect to understand the book that you've never read or that you've only read rarely. It doesn't work that way. You actually have to spend time with the book. When you read, you can understand. In the very next chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 17, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Now, once again, very similar to what we looked at in Luke chapter 8, there's a heart problem with the Gentiles here, but again, it's because they were physically oriented. They were physically minded. They were trying to look at God's Word through a physical lens, and you can't read it that way. If your mind is in the world, if this is where your love is, if this is where your hope is, if this is where all of your security rests, you'll never really understand God's Word because it cannot be understood by a physical mind. We've got to develop a spiritual, eternal mindset. Another passage that makes that very clear, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 14, the natural man or the physical man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. Things of God have to be looked at from God's perspective through a spiritual prism, an eternal focus. It's not about life under the sun. You're going to suck air in that physical body just for a few days and then you're out of here. So am I. We'd better be looking at things from the much larger picture, the eternal picture, the grand scheme of things. If you want to have a good understanding of God's will, that's one of the important qualifications. We've got to have the spiritual mindset. You might need a teacher. You might need somebody to sit down with you to kind of help explain how things all go together. We see that in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 30. Philip ran to the eunuch there in the chariot and he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah.
And he said, do you understand? Listen here. Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I understand? I can't understand this unless someone guides me. And he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. Sometime you need to ask somebody to sit down beside you and explain something to you. This passage or that passage or this book or the entire New Testament or the Old Testament. And how does this all fit together? Sometimes it helps just to have somebody sit down across the kitchen table with you and explain how all of that works. And you know what? You got a lot of members in this congregation who would be willing to do that with you. I would, my wife would, and there are a lot of other folks here who would be glad to do that with you. Sometimes we just need a teacher to sit down and to explain it to us. Now, let me add one caveat here. Choose wisely when you're choosing a teacher. Choose wisely. If you've got some person that tells you that you can be justified by faith alone, and you can read with your own eyes James chapter 2 and verse 24 that says we are justified by works and not by faith alone, you might want to find another teacher. Just a word of advice. When somebody tells you something that blatantly contradicts something that you know is in God's Word, that's not the teacher you need to have showing you the way. The world is full of false teachers. You find somebody that has a good understanding of God's Word, has a long history of humble acceptance and dedication and subjection to the Word of God. And let that person help to explain to you what God's Word says. A teacher can be a great asset to helping you come to an understanding of God's Word. If it's a teacher like Philip, if it's somebody that can actually explain it to you, who understands it themselves and can put it into words that you can understand. Yeah, it's fine to go to a teacher. As you read a little further here in Acts chapter 8, look at verse 32. They were reading in the place of the scripture from the prophet Isaiah about this man who was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer was silent. He opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And then the eunuch spoke to Philip. He said, Philip, now you're the teacher here. I got a question for you. Who was Isaiah writing about? Was he writing about himself or was he writing about somebody else? That was a very good question. It was an insightful question. Philip took advantage of that question and began, the record says, at that place and preached Jesus to the eunuch. But the eunuch wasn't too ashamed. He wasn't too embarrassed to ask a question. I encourage people to ask questions. If you don't understand something in God's Word, ask a question. It might be one of those things that God just hasn't told us. And if I was going to answer that question, I'd tell you that. God just doesn't tell us that. It might be one of those things that I have an opinion on, but other people might have other opinions. It doesn't really matter because it's a matter of meat and vegetables and God doesn't care. And I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over that. But if I can understand something that God's Word says and you ask me a question about that, I'll do my best to help to explain that to you. Ask questions and don't be embarrassed to ask questions. Again, of those individuals whose background is such that you know they have a good understanding of God's Word. We need to have a strong faith, what I'd call a reasoned faith. Not blind faith, as Christians are sometimes accused of having, but a reasoned faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 3, by faith we understand. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Again, that's not blind faith, but that is faith. We were not here when the worlds were framed, but we see the evidence of intelligent design all around us. Faith tells me that there is an intelligent designer that put it all together. Same thing is true with God's Word. We need to approach the Word of God with an appreciation for what it is. In fact, the Word of God. And we need to approach it with that degree of faith, strong conviction and assurance that these things are in fact what God wants me to know. And yes, don't forget prayer. Prayer is very important. in helping us grow in our understanding. Look at the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 16. I love Paul's prayers, and here's one that really stands out to me. Paul writes, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, you Christians at Ephesus, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened." Paul prayed that the Christians in Ephesus would not only have a good knowledge of God's Word, God's will, that they might grow in their wisdom in application of God's Word and God's will, but simply to grow in their understanding of God's Word and God's will, that their understanding might be enlightened. He said, "I pray that for you." And brethren, we can pray that for one another. If we can do these things, brethren, we will not only grow in our understanding of God's will, but we will grow to understand it alike. And that's a good thing.
You have been listening to a recent sermon presented to the Downtown Church of Christ in Rogers, Arkansas, entitled "Understanding the Bible Alike." The Bible actually can be understood if we have the heart to understand it. Spending time reading the Bible, asking questions of those who have a history of humble Bible study, and of course praying for understanding. These are just some of the steps that you can take to grow in your understanding of God's will. If we at the Downtown Church can help you to grow in your understanding of the Bible, we encourage you to reach out and contact us. We are here to serve. And once again, remember that the Downtown Church meets every Sunday morning for Bible classes at 9:30, and we have Bible classes for all ages. Our regular assemblies on Sundays are at 10:30 on Sunday mornings and at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings, and we would encourage you to come and visit with us any time that you can. Our prayer continues to be that everyone listening to this program will be safe, both physically and spiritually. Once again, thank you for joining us this morning, and remember this week to let the Bible speak.